A survey by the nonpartisan public opinion research organization Public Agenda's Hidden Common Ground Initiative continues to take on the very common belief that Americans are ideologically divided to the point of being incapable of working together. The organization's most recent survey was fielded in May 2021 and finds that most Americans believe democracy is in trouble. The respondents differ on ways to fix the problem, but they have ideas. Joining us is Dr. David Schleifer, who is Vice President and Director of Research for Public Agenda. Dr. Schleifer, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So I want to talk about the results of the survey. Tell us a little bit about Public Agenda, first of all, and you know what you were looking to do, what you were looking to find in this survey.
Sure. So Public Agenda is we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We've been in existence for over 40 years now. And all of our work is really about giving people a greater voice in the systems and institutions that serve them. And we have a special interest in democracy and how we can make our democracy function more effectively, and how we can give people a greater voice in democratic decision-making. So with the Hidden Common Ground Initiative, which we're partnering on with USA Today, really the impetus for this project was to sort of take a closer look at this kind of narrative that we have that Americans are just hopelessly divided and can't at all work together across partisan lines. So through research, journalism, and through some public engagement projects, what we're trying to do with this project is to identify and strengthen Americans' common ground across partisan lines, and also to understand where there are really genuine differences across partisan lines. We certainly don't want to paper over those, but our feeling is sort of that we have a better chance of making progress on addressing our differences if we can clarify where they are and also clarify where we might actually agree and have the basis for some kind of, to start some kind of productive conversation.
So we're going to go down through some of the findings of the survey, but in your mind, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. Was there anything that jumped out at you, the results of the survey, any result that you looked at and said, wow, you know, that's something I wouldn't have expected, or that is something that is noteworthy?
Sure. Well, I think that there's, you know, when I think about just the findings from this survey overall, which is focused on specifically the state of our democracy and how we can renew it, we did see a lot of agreement across partisan lines on a lot of the questions we asked. I would say the biggest area of disagreement that we saw had to do with racism and how people understand racism differently. And specifically what we saw there is that fewer Republicans than Democrats and independents and apolitical folks believe that racism is a systemic problem or that it has a substantial impact on the ability to participate in our civic and political life for people of color. That really stood out as the biggest partisan difference that we saw in this research. But I raise that to say that, you know, looking across most of the other questions in this research, what I was really struck by was the degree of agreement on the problems in our democracy and people's fundamental values and beliefs about how we need to strengthen our democracy.
Well, since you brought up the Republican response to racism, what exactly was the question? And one thing that I did notice from the results is that when you say a big difference, I mean a big difference between how Republicans see racism and Democrats, independents, and politically unaffiliated voters.
That's right. So what we saw is that certainly there is agreement across partisan lines that overcoming racism is important, but Republicans do feel less strongly about that. But really where we see the differences has to do with the question about how much racism impacts the ability of people of color to participate in the political process. And we found that only 20% of Republicans believe that racism is a substantial barrier to political participation compared to, compared to about half or just over half of Democrats. I think the other interesting thing, the other place where these differences on racism really stand out is when we asked about whether addressing racism requires systemic change. Far fewer Republicans than Democrats, independents, or politically unaffiliated people say that addressing racism requires systemic change. The interesting thing that I will say about these and the other questions that we asked about racism is that the differences that we saw are really by political affiliation. We really didn't see substantial differences by race on these questions about racism. So for the most part, Black, white, and Latino people really are on the same page for the most part on these and other questions that we asked about racism. It's really Republicans who stand out as different, and different from not just Democrats, but also independents and the politically unaffiliated, who are a substantial part of our electorate.
But aren't there far fewer African-American Republicans than African-American Democrats or independents? I guess I'm looking at the methodology there.
Sure, of course. I think, a great point. And but I think that the what we saw is that the differences are substantial. Even the differences that we see are sort of independent of race. In other words, what we see is that Republicans. The way to look at it is that, you know, the differences between Republicans and Democrats are far greater than the differences between Black and white Americans. And even though Black Americans tend to be Democratic, the Democratic Party is less white than the Republican Party or members of the party. But we don't feel that the differences are entirely accounted for just by race alone.
If you're just tuning in, our guest is Dr. David Schleifer, who is Vice President and Director of Research for Public Agenda. It's a nonpartisan public opinion research organization, talking about their latest survey on democracy. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are @smarttalkWITF. All right, so let's get back to the headline. Americans of all political leanings are worried about the state of democracy. How do they want to address it?
Right. So this was really interesting because we asked about a number of sort of values and priorities that people might have in terms of how we can address racism. How we can strengthen our democracy. I'm still thinking about the last question there. we asked about, there's a lot that we could have asked about. We focused on 11 different possibilities, and we found a great deal of common ground across party lines. These have to do with big picture things like the importance of having trustworthy news and information, and certainly the importance of fair, secure, and hassle-free elections. Interestingly, Republicans were especially focused on elections as a top priority, but we did see that majorities across partisan lines believe that elections can be both secure and accessible, and that the federal government can ensure that voting is simple, convenient, and hassle-free for everyone in every state. So we did try to kind of take this sort of polarized debate between election security and election accessibility and essentially ask people, can we do both? And really, the majority of Americans and the majority of people across political affiliations really did say, we can do both. We don't have to make that. It's not an either-or choice when it comes to security versus accessibility for our elections.
You know, what's kind of ironic about that is that because so many Americans now are focusing on election security, when the last election, the 2020 election, probably was the most secure that the country has ever had. But because there are a number of people, including former President Trump, that have raised concerns in people's minds, doubts in people's minds, this has become a major issue. But as you say, the survey is showing that that a majority of Americans believe we can have both secure and also accessible. And by accessible, any idea what they meant by that? I mean, more access, making it easier to vote, or just what?
So the way that we asked about this was about making voting simple, convenient, and hassle-free for everyone in every state. And what we saw was that I think we saw that 86% of Americans overall agree that the federal government should play a role in ensuring that voting is simple, convenient, and hassle-free. And even higher proportions of Democrats and independents, slightly higher. And we also saw a strong majority of Republicans and the unaffiliated who also hold that belief. So I do think we see I think it's hard to, I mean, certainly there's no evidence that there was any fraud in the last election. Certainly, however, because that narrative is now out there, I do think it has directed, it's interesting to see how focused Republicans in particular have become on that as a priority. But when we sort of dig a little deeper, we do see that people believe that there is a path forward in terms of elections that are both secure and, but also are accessible and convenient for people to vote.
Let's take a phone call from Mitch in Harrisburg. Mitch, you're on Smart Talk.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. My question, really, you guys just talked about the narrative that was pushed around the elections, the false narrative. My question is, I agree with both of you that I think Republicans and Democrats, want what is best for the country. After all, we're all Americans first. With the massive amount of, truthfully, just lies and false narratives that are being pushed by the Republican Party, is it fair to say that it's going to be really difficult to reconcile those two sort of narratives when you've got one side that doesn't necessarily adhere to facts and pushes falsehoods that kind of promote what keeps them in power?
Thank you for your call, Mitch. Dr. Schleifer, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what is going to happen at the political level, and I certainly don't want to, be in the business of predicting what's going to happen in state politics or at the federal level, where and so much of this is decided in the states. I do think there is an open question about how much the narrative that about how far Republican politicians are from ordinary folks who identify with the Republican Party. I wonder, I don't know, we haven't done this research, but I think, we often feel that, we often have a sense that politicians on a lot of issues aren't necessarily reflecting the will of their constituents in a perfect way, often far from it. And I do think it would be interesting to sort of understand, in this, in this survey research, we're focusing so much on ordinary, you know, this is about ordinary people who are Democrats and Republicans. And but I do think it would be interesting to know, well, how far are Republican elected officials from the majority of ordinary folks who identify with the Republican Party? And I think that that's, for me, an open question. And I mean, certainly a lot of what happens politically depends on elected officials. But I would be cautious about assuming that whatever choices elected officials make are a perfect reflection of what their constituents necessarily want.
Well, then let's follow up on that, on the survey found to build a healthier democracy. Americans across partisan lines prioritize responsive government, less divisive leadership, and accurate news and information. You touched on news and information earlier. But prioritize responsive government. What's responsive government? How is that defined?
Well, we sort of, we can only sort of define it based on the way that we ask the question. But when we look across a number of different questions that we asked in this survey and asked, because we also asked about sort of some of the things that need to change in our democracy, and what we see across a number of these different questions is this sense that the way government works, that government does not necessarily prioritize the interests of ordinary people, that government tends to work more for the rich and powerful, for special interests. And I'm cautious about saying that because, of course, if one person's special interest is another person's advocacy group. But I think there is certainly a strong sense that right now government does not necessarily serve the people that it represents. And we do see I think when we hear this desire for more responsive government, my sense is that that's what people are thinking about. They want a government that works for them and not for the rich and powerful.
And that leads into less divisive leadership, because what you just described sounds like that many of our leaders are more interested in getting the upper hand and winning elections to stay in power than to actually working for the good of the people.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll say we just did a round of focus groups with Democrats and Republicans for the next survey that we're going to be doing. And we really just heard this strong sense that the divisiveness that we see between politicians is not only are people exasperated and even disgusted with what they're seeing, but also this feeling that it is, we hear this again and again in focus groups, that it's sort of strategic, that it's a distraction, that it's meant to distract ordinary people, and that it actually serves that divisiveness serves politicians and in some sense may serve the media, but I think really they're sort of fingering politicians as actually benefiting from that divisiveness because it sort of distracts people from the real issues at hand and distracts people from the solutions that we might be able to pursue to some of the real practical problems that our nation faces.
Something in the survey that I found very interesting, more Americans getting involved in public affairs. The survey said that they would be more likely to get involved in public affairs if they could exercise real power, build common ground, and if decision-making processes were user-friendly. You know, I find that interesting because as a journalist who has covered so many school board meetings, city council meetings, where there's one or two people in the audience and people tend not to get involved, it would seem, you know, this survey would seem to go against that they would like to get more involved, but they're kind of cynical about whether they can make a difference. Am I reading that right?
Well, you make a good point, but I think what we tried to ask about in this survey what we tried to include in the survey were questions about all of the other ways that people can get involved in civic and political life that are not the town hall meeting. I mean, one of the things that we asked about was, we specifically asked about you know, that traditional town hall meeting structure. And that's not what people want. When people want to get involved, that's not an approach to democratic decision making that is appealing to people. But there are so many other ways that communities and municipalities are getting people involved in decision making that are so much more meaningful and interactive and sustained and even fun, but that really have real decision making power attached to them. So we asked about things like participatory budgeting. We asked about community councils. We asked about what are called citizen juries, where people sort of are appointed to study an issue and make decisions together with elected officials. We asked about sort of online ideation sessions. There are all kinds of ways that democracy can work. There are all kinds of ways that local governments can get people involved in politics that are not that traditional town hall meeting. And many communities are using these approaches already, but they don't tend to get as much sort of, they don't have the fireworks attached to them that a town hall meeting does, but they're also much more inclusive and I would say more effective and sustainable ways of getting people involved in civic and political life.
That is interesting. Maybe some people listening today will you know get some of those ideas and see if they can work that way to get involved. David Schleifer is Vice President and Director of Research for Public Agenda. Dr. Schleifer, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.